Grace to you and peace from the one who creates all things and redeems all things. Amen. It is Advent. This first Sunday of our new year, God proclaims all things being made new. But our readings, our word for this day, doesn't really begin like we might expect. It doesn't begin with a birth narrative. It doesn't even begin with a description of the coming of the Anointed One. It doesn't begin with words of comfort and joy, but with a warning. With a warning that in those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light and the stars will be falling from heaven. It's a description of a cataclysmic event in which God will bring Jesus back again to be with God's people. Not a comforting way to start the new year. And yet, God says in these gospel lessons, Jesus says, the Son of Man is coming. That word, Advent, means literally coming. It is an active word. It isn't like Lent, where we await that springtime of Easter in a kind of contemplative, quiet way. It's not that sort of waiting. It's an active word that looks forward to Jesus coming. But it is a looking that has two directions. On the one hand, our readings for today point in Mark to that second coming, where Jesus will come in that cataclysmic event, and yet at the same time points to the present for the coming of Jesus now. But which one makes the most sense for us? In one of the commentaries I read, it noted that in 1987, there was a group of people who were, again, looking for the coming of Jesus, and who decided that even though the text said that we will know neither the day or the hour, they thought perhaps the half week might be good enough. Beware, keep alert, Jesus says. Beware and keep alert, and for you don't know when it will happen, and it's like a man going on a journey. What Jesus describes in this text, it seems to me, is certainly that second coming, but more importantly, at least for us, the present coming of Jesus and our posture to that present coming. It's like he says, a man who went on a journey and got everything ready and posted the guards and got everyone prepared, but don't fall asleep. I mean, what happens when you fall asleep? This weekend, I'm sure some of you may have had guests for Thanksgiving. I would just venture the probability that you got ready for that event. That at the very least you dusted those couple of inches of dust off the top of your refrigerator. For us, we threw a turkey in the oven. We set the table. We got everyone ready for that moment in which we would celebrate together. In the same way, God calls God's people to the present to keep awake. What might that look like for us? In the church, have we fallen asleep? There is always a danger that when you concentrate all of your efforts and time on a future event, which in this case for the community of Jesus was his second coming, the danger is always there that you will begin to lapse. You know how that goes. For me, it's losing weight. I know that in the future that will happen. But in the present, you know, you can just one more day. I'll start tomorrow. I'm sure I'll start tomorrow. In the same way for us in the church, we're always prepared to be ready, but we never quite act. In the gospel lesson for today and in the lesson in Corinthians, we are called as the church to be awake and ready now. To behave as if and live as if the advent of Christ was not in some far away time, but in this moment that Jesus is coming. Coming in bread and wine. Coming in song. Coming in crazy processions and joyous lifting up of our voices. Coming in the care for a dying friend. Jesus is coming in the flesh and blood and breath of his body present now. St. Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, was worried because their practice and their piety had strayed, and he worried about them. But he begins with these words. He says, "I give thanks for your ministry. I will always give thanks for that grace of God that is lived out in you." As we prepare, as we are waiting for the coming of Jesus, we will not always get it right. We will fail and we will fall. We will be inadequate in our feeding of the hungry and of the caring for the homeless. We will never probably fulfill all of the ways in which we think we should do our ministry. But we will always remain in that presence of God, because Advent begins and ends in grace. But we look for the signs. We look for the signs of Jesus coming. Now, here on the island, we don't do much with seasons. The seasons consist of a little more rain and a little less heat. But on the mainland, when I was in Kansas, I was there for 17 years, and for 12 of those years, we lived in a house that had a lilac bush out front. And underneath that lilac bush were some bulbs that were planted. Next to the bulbs was a sidewalk that came up to our mailbox, 8 feet wide, 17 feet long. And all winter, snow and ice and sleet and everything else would pile up on that sidewalk, and it was always left to me to scrape that thing off. And every time it would snow, I would shovel that stuff onto those bulbs, thinking, "Come on, baby, grow." And I would know that spring was near, because sometimes even up through the snow would pop these little green heads. And it signaled that soon, God willing, the snow shoveling would be over, my suffering would end. But more than that, it meant new life and a new beginning, new beauty. And it is to that we are called in this Advent. The beauty of a God who springs from the earth for our sake. The power of a Lord who brings to fruit the flowers of our work in Jesus Christ, and whose greening of grace showers us now. And so in this Advent season, we truly are the clay of the potter's hands that shapes and makes us to be the body of Christ for a God who is truly coming now. Amen.